I'm going after them individually. Every single one of them. Individually. I'm coming after you. Every one of them I am.
Christopher Key has founded Vaccine Police, and he will arrest tyranny.
Then they can be hung up. They can be executed. So this stops. It stops here, guys. Let's go in.
Vaccine mandates for kids. No. Mask mandates for little Mikey. Heck no. School boards have been put on notice.
No man is evil, and I know man is all about money and power.
It's open season on treason. Vaccine police are on patrol. Old Bill Kotchill, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when vaccine police come for you? Support the resistance. Go to vaccinepolice.com. Forget the woo flu. Back the blue. Vaccinepolice.com. Have you noticed there is something very wrong with the modern day man?
Are you a beta male?
I don't think so.
Beta!
Sperm counts are cratering.
Maybe it's male.
0% by 2050. But help is on the way. Keys to Life.shop has products which are making men, men again. And by the NFL, PGA, and the NCAA. Too manly. Clinically proven to raise IGF-1 levels. Man up. Take off the dress. Visit Keys to Life.shop. Get your manhood back today.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Sheriff Mac Show simulcast with Liberty Roundtable Live. I'm Sam Bushman, Vice President of Operations, and the good sheriff is in the house. Welcome back, brother.
Sam, it is so great to be with you this beautiful Tuesday morning. And you are correct, we do have an award-winning show today, and thank you so much for that.
First of all, you had incredible travels. Now you're home for just a tidbit. The posse is coming up today as well. We need people to remember. CSPOA.org. Join the posse today. Just click on Become a Member, and then you can interact with the good sheriff. In addition to watching him on TV, you can actually interact and have a Q&A and a questions and a collaboration. It all happens at the Sheriff's Posse later on today, Sheriff. But best of all, though, you want to make sure people understand the constitutionality of your win over Bill Clinton, right?
Well, obviously, with our show today, Sam, being from officers or former officers in Canada, it plays right into what they're standing for, what I stood for 25 years ago at the United States Supreme Court. And this is in the quote I'm going to give is in my booklet, Supreme Court case for state sovereignty, the victory for state sovereignty, the biggest and greatest and most profound 10th Amendment decision in the history of America. And right from the United States Supreme Court, I'm adding into this on page 2, I added in the foreword a quote from Judge John M. Roll at the district court case where he nailed exactly and precisely why I sued the federal government. This will segue in very nicely to what we're talking about today with our two guests. Quote, Mac is thus forced to choose between keeping his oath or obeying the act, subjecting himself to possible sanctions. Those possible sanctions were arrest and fines or both. And so this is just an amazing quote. And an amazing assertion from Judge John M. Roll, the late John M. Roll, who was assassinated in Tucson back in 2008, I think it was. He was shot at the assassination attempt on Congresswoman Gabby Giffords. Great quote. Mac is forced to choose between keeping his oath or obeying the act. And when any officer is forced into that position, they should do exactly what our two guests have done and are doing.
Amen to that, Sheriff Mac. Let's introduce the first one. Our first guest is Chris Vandenbos, and he's co-founder of a group called Police on Guard. He's a former police constable of about 17 years. He's an Ontario, Canada resident. He's a proud Canadian father of two boys. And now he's standing up for liberty like nobody's business. Chris, Welcome to the Sheriff Maxo, sir.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an absolute pleasure, honestly.
All right. Now, let's talk a little bit about you and your involvement. You're a co-founder of Police on Guard. Let's talk about a little bit about your service in Canada and then how you became the co-founder of Police on Guard. And then we'll talk about your brother and how he literally resigned as well, right?
Yeah, he did. And I'll tell you how it got started. We witnessed the erosion of people's rights here in Canada throughout the COVID pandemic, whatever you want to call it. And they were putting police in an untenable position to violate their oath to uphold the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, which was put in place in Canada in 1982. And when we were witnessing pastors getting arrested, kids getting arrested for being outside without a mask, birthday parties being stormed by the police and people getting roughed up and taken out in handcuffs, we said enough is enough. And we stood up and we said we need to do something. So we penned an open letter, put it on social media regarding our oath and what was going on, and it went like wildfire. We had officers across Canada from BC all across to Nova Scotia joining on board, and we had Canada's top constitution lawyer, Rocco Galletti, offer to represent us pro bono in an Ontario action and now a federal action as well to hold our government to account and speak to the constitutionality of the mandates that they've said that we need to enforce against our oath.
Now, Rocco has put out several press releases and done several press conferences representing you guys and kind of highlighting the case and what it's about as well. How has that been received by the media, Chris?
Well, the media here has been bought and paid for by our prime minister, who arrogantly admitted it at one of his fundraising dinners, where he admits to paying $650 million to get the media to parrot whatever it is that he decides they should say. So the independent media outlets are actually more than fair, and they're reporting honestly with integrity, but the mainstream media has proven to not want to do their job of unbiased journalism. We mentioned my brother leaving the police service as well as close personal friends of mine that have resigned after esteemed careers without a blemish on the record, simply because they were being told to go out and do what the government says in violation of their oath. And they decided that they could not do that. It was a moral and ethical dilemma. So they resigned and they've moved on to other things as a result. And this is recent. And we're trying to do everything that we can to hopefully get Canadians to wake up to realize the gravity of what's happening here, because it's a slippery slope and we're getting pretty far down that hill right now.
And what it also means, in addition to creating a crisis where, hey, you cannot keep your oath and do the bidding of what's being virtually mandated. Richard Mack had that. That's why he went all the way to the Supreme Court and beat former President Bill Clinton at the Supreme Court over this very issue, whereas, hey, you can't serve two masters. What they're really doing over this is they're drumming out all the good, honorable folks who want to keep their oath of office, who do believe in checks and balances, who do believe in the good role of the proper role of government. They're literally drumming all those people out intentionally, aren't they, Chris?
It seems that way because we have officers that are standing up outside of, inside the walls, I should say, and they're just simply making videos saying that they stand for freedom and for their oath. And one officer, Constable Aaron Howard, she said that she supports maintaining her oath and supports the peaceful movement of the Freedom Truckers movement there going across Canada, the convoy. And they're all getting charged. They're all getting charged under the Police Services Act, and they're going after them hard. Simply for saying that they are standing up for the oath that they took when they commenced employment as a law enforcement officer. And to me, that is extremely troubling because that's a complete degradation of what it means to be Canadian and to be a Canadian police officer.
Well, what it also does in my mind is it jettisons the rule of law. Chris, then Sheriff.
Well, it does because when we take an oath, it is to uphold the Constitution and the Charter, to be unbiased and to keep the peace and prevent offenses. And it does not say in our oath that we shall obey the edicts of the government of the day. The government is to adhere to the Charter the same way we are. And we take that oath because governments change and the law doesn't. It's foundational. And that's why we have to take that oath so that we can protect the Canadian public against any egregious breaches of their Charter of Rights and Freedoms, no matter who is in charge at the top of our governments. And they seemingly have forgotten that, but we at Police on Guard, we haven't, and we won't.
Sheriff?
Well, Chris, thank you so much for what you've done. It's an amazing miracle, what you've been a part of. What worries me is, are you the minority? It seems that in the United States, maybe across the world and in Canada, from what I've gathered, that still most officers are just going along, just following orders, just like a bunch of Nuremberg officers. Nuremberg, of course, being the trials or the area where they had the trials for Nazi officers who gave as an excuse in participating in the genocide, that they gave the excuse that we were just following orders. You can't blame us. Is it still too much of that? And are you the minority in this case, or are most Canadian officers trying to do this and just don't have the courage, or where does it stand? I mean, it really bothers me that most officers here in the United States don't give a flip about the oath of office that they take.
Well, I think it's hard to quantify in terms of a percentage of who is willing to adhere to their oath and who is not. But what we're trying to do is wake people up to the realities of what their oath is and show them examples of how it's been breached over the last 2 years. And I will say that there are so many fantastic officers of integrity and of good moral report that are inside the walls of policing trying to do the right thing. And they are in turmoil because of what they're being told to do. They might not be as forward-facing and willing to stand and speak as loudly as we have, but at the same time, our numbers are growing so fast because they see that we are being a light in this darkness, and they want to do what they can to support in whatever way they can. So I do see it growing. I do see it changing, and the excuse of I was just following orders has never been a justifiable one, and when the chips That's are on right. the table and the dust settles, they're going to have to answer to it if they have engaged in things that were in contravention and contradiction of the oath that they took. And it's not going to be pretty, because we had an incident here, G20, about 10, 12 years ago, where they violated people's charter rights and freedoms arbitrarily, and they were charged. And just following orders was not an excuse then. And my understanding, and if I were to make a prediction, it won't be an excuse this time either.
And God thank heavens for that, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking to Chris Vandenbos. He's co-founder of Police on Guard in Canada. Is the best website to focus on this? This is where I saw some of the press conferences from the attorney representing you guys. Constitutionalrightscenter.ca, is that the best place to go?
So that is the best place to go to see updates on what Rocco is doing, but the best place to go to follow us, to get involved, to have your voice be heard, and to find community with other people that are on the right side of the freedom fence is policeonguard.ca. We have all of our updates in our newsletter. We have a plethora of information for people to rely upon to get better educated as to what is going on here. And if they're an officer that took an oath, or anybody that took an oath in public service, they can join us. And they can join our chat forum as well and stay engaged and up to date on all the updates that's happening.
Well, we would certainly like
PoliceOnGuard.ca, Sheriff.
Yes, we'd really like to continue and have you as a partner with a CSPOA. We'd like to create a partnership. This is a dream come true that we've actually seen officers standing now in Australia and England and Canada and America, and we need this moral support to be more cohesive and to show that this isn't an anomaly, that officers are good people and that they're standing and that we're doing something about this. And another question I had, you said the officers are moving on to other careers. Has that been difficult, or are they being blackballed? Are they unemployed? Is making a living difficult or impossible, or is everything fine? And are some trying to leave the country?
Well, my closest personal friend, he was a sergeant with the police service that I...
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
We need this moral support to be more cohesive and to show that this isn't an anomaly, that officers are good people and that they're standing and that we're doing something about this. And another question I had, you said the officers are moving on to other careers. Has that been difficult, or are they being blackballed? Are they unemployed? Is making a living difficult or impossible, or is everything fine? And are some trying to leave the country? We need this moral support to be more cohesive and to show that this isn't an anomaly, that officers are good people and that they're standing and that we're doing something about this. And another question I had, you said the officers are moving on to other careers. Has that been difficult, or are they being blackballed? Are they unemployed? Is making a living difficult or impossible, or is everything fine? And are some trying to leave the country?
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that God...
I'm not criticizing that decision, but as Chris Vandenbos, his brother, and many others leave, I'm fearful what we're going to end up with, Chris.
Well, there's a founder of policing. His name is Robert Peel, Sir Robert Peel, and he was a British fellow and an officer. And he actually wrote the principles of policing that Canadian police agencies teach, and they train us on when we get hired. And one of the foundational statements that he made about policing is that the people are the police and the police are the people. So police on guard can stand up all day long, and we can make our voices heard all day long. If we don't have the people standing with us to support us, to make their voices heard, to do their part, to democratically and unviolently seek change, then we are just another voice that blends into the crowd. And we need the people to remember that they are the police as well. And that if they stand for the charter and the freedoms of the Canadian public with us, we'll have a lot more momentum in winning this thing and holding those accountable that are seeking to take these freedoms away.
Sheriff Mack, that's exactly what we're saying. That's the whole purpose of the CSPOA. A sheriff can do a lot of good, or a police officer can do a lot of good and uphold the law and provide due process and everything else. But if the people don't back them, they're on their own. They'll be hung out to dry all by themselves, Sheriff.
Well, yeah, that's exactly correct. And it's amazing the parallels that we have in this whole thing here and the work that we've been doing. But primarily speaking, CSPOA is all about peaceful and effective change in America. People must be left alone to run their own lives, and government is here to make sure that the playing field is level for everyone, and that there's no fraud and theft and rape and murder, and that everything is equal for everyone. Not equal stuff, but equal opportunity. And that's the role that it appears that governments throughout the world have, not just forgotten, but intentionally strayed away from. And so, again, we are all about peaceful and effective process. And it looks like about the only possibility for that happening in America is through our CSPOA, because it's just gotten way out of hand. There is no hope in Washington, D.C. Now, one question I would have. What form of government does Canada really have? And what form of government are they supposed to have?
Well, the federal government operates on a federal level, and then we have each provincial government underneath that. So both operate on different levels. Like, they can make federal legislation and mandates, but when it comes to things surrounding health, the provinces decide what they're going to do inside their own walls. But unfortunately what happened, and I'm sure you guys are well aware, that the World Economic Forum has their fingers involved in all of this. The World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, brags about how he has Justin Trudeau in his back pocket and that he has cabinet members and ministers in his back pocket as well. And when Justin Trudeau brought forward the Emergencies Act to stomp on peaceful truckers that were assembling in a democratic way, it really ticked off a lot of Canadians. There was millions and millions of Canadians standing with the truckers, and he knew that his time was running short, in my estimation, because then he joined forces with another party that was an opposition party to come up with an agreement to hold him in power until 2025. So he can avoid an election, because the temperature and climate here in Canada is people are downright sick of this man acting like a tyrant in what should be, you know, a bastion of freedom in the world.
Yeah.
There's no doubt Canada should stand in the light as a light on a hill with us, huh, Sheriff?
Yes, exactly. Chris, well, thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate what you're doing. Please keep in touch. This partnership that I've been talking about, we'd love to stand with you, beside you, and work with you any way that we can to make this happen. And we'll send over a hot air balloon to see if you can make that to Vegas.
Go ahead and pick you up.
Well, man. I'll jump in it, even though I don't like heights. I appreciate you guys so much, and I thank you for the time today. It is a pleasure and an honor to be here.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Vandenbos with us, policeonguard.ca to learn more. That's policeonguard.ca. Also, constitutionalrightscenter.ca to see what their attorney's doing. Tremendous work. Thank you so much, Chris. Another incredible guest from Canada coming up in mere seconds. You are watching the Sheriff Mack Show on Brighteon.tv.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil spiritual power to the beast. And that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Welcome to the Sheriff Mac Show, my brothers and sisters. Are you a member of the CSPOA posse yet? We pray you join today, CSPOA.org. One of the great solutions in America, the county sheriff, America's last hope. And that's what we do our very best to support, those who are willing to stand in the gap and protect the sacred cause of liberty, who honor due process, who believe in the checks and balances that made America great. Chris Vandenbos was one of them. Policeonguard.ca is his website. And Chris brought up this policing fundamental principles in a Canadian context. That's really important to understand, because there's literally checks and balances. There's almost a code of ethics written in to the history of policing, ladies and gentlemen, over time. I mean, Magna Carta on through in the United States, and similar in the great country of Canada. Our next guest equally is riveting. He's a corporal. Well, he used to be. His name is Danny Bulford, and he's now with Mounties for Freedom. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here and speak with you today.
Now, you are a former corporal in the RCMP. Tell Americans what the people of the United States, what the RCMP is.
It's the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. So it's Canada's national police force. Now, it's kind of unique from what you would be used to in the United States, because we are the federal police. So we fulfill the mandates of the Secret Service, the FBI, the DEA, ATFE, plus we do provincial policing on a contract basis. So that would be like your state troopers. And then we also do municipal policing in the vast majority of Canada. So throughout Canada, the RCMP are probably, you know, the police that most Canadians would interact with on a regular basis, unless you live in a large city center like Toronto, Montreal, Calgary, you know, Vancouver. All of those larger centers have their own city police force. And then Ontario and Quebec are the only two provinces that have their own provincial police. But outside of Ontario and Quebec, the RCMP is the provincial police, the federal police, and the municipal police for the majority of smaller centers or smaller municipalities.
And how many members? How many members in that?
Roughly sworn members. I think it's roughly 20,000 nationally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for regular members that are actual serving police officers.
Okay. And how long did you serve?
15 years. Yeah, I joined the RCMP in August of 2006, went to the Depot Training Academy. It's one centralized academy headquartered in Regina, Saskatchewan. From there, I was posted to the Yukon Territory. I worked there for just under 7 years, and then I transferred to Ottawa to be on the emergency response team. And that's where I have spent the last 8 years of my career.
Wow. You worked hard for 15 years, ladies and gentlemen, and then Danny resigned December 15th, 2021. He's an Ontario resident. He's a proud father of three children. He stood for the sacred cause of liberty the best he could, but you know what? Now it's become too much. Tell us about that. You were serving, you were faithful, everything was good, right, Danny?
Yeah, I had made it, you know, by all standards. I had a good job, great team, good schedule, good pay, good family life. I had kind of checked all of the boxes of what would be considered, what most people would consider a life success. And then in 2020, for the first year of the declared pandemic, you know, I wasn't even really paying attention to what the mainstream narrative was all that much, you know, so shame on me for not paying attention. But our unit, we made some schedule adjustments and began working in smaller designated groups, you know, unless an operation demanded amassing a larger group. But for the most part, we were, you know, things didn't change very much for us other than scheduling and small debts, working in small debts. And so I hadn't really been paying attention to the mainstream narrative, because I've learned early on in my career that the mainstream news is biased and doesn't report accurately, right? I mean, specifically because of how they report on police matters. So I'd found that, like, the left media, they paint the police as if we're nothing but a bunch of thugs. And then the far right media has a tendency to be over sensationalized as well. So I hadn't been paying attention to mainstream news for a long time, you know, television or radio broadcasts. And so I had spent a lot of my time focusing more on independent media, podcast interviews, audiobooks. That's what I would listen to during my commute, and listening, like trying to educate myself on subjects I was interested in. And so for 2020, I hadn't really even paid attention to the COVID narrative very much, because my life had been relatively uninterrupted. So it was actually my wife who started expressing concerns to me about what was happening in Canada in early 2021, and concerns about the new technology regarding the mRNA vaccines. And so that was when I started to do my own, I call it my open source investigation into the evidence of what was really happening here regarding the handling of the pandemic and the way that the government was behaving and the way that the media was reporting it. You know, I call it the official narrative, the combination of the narrative from the government, the mainstream media, and public health, and how that just was not aligning with the evidence that I was finding when I looked at both sides of the argument, and how it was like a growing intrusion onto our fundamental rights and freedoms without any evidence to support that it was justified, right? And that's when we talk about our Charter of Rights and Freedoms, like our essentially our updated version of our Bill of Rights. We did have a Bill of Rights, or we do have a Bill of Rights from 1967, but then that was superseded by the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, which came into effect in 1982. And that was so that it would specifically apply to all jurisdictions and all Canadian citizens at all time. My understanding from Mr. Brian Peckford, former Premier of Newfoundland, one of the people who actually wrote the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, is that the original Bill of Rights was more just a federal legislation, federal jurisdiction. So the Charter was created to protect the fundamental rights and freedoms of Canadians at all times, no matter what level of government you were dealing with. So in Section 1 of the Charter, they talk about how it's subject to reasonable limits that can be demonstrably justified in a free and democratic society, and prescribed by law. So there's kind of four tests that are contained within Section 1 of our Charter of Rights and Freedoms that would have to be met in order to limit the fundamental rights and freedoms that are prescribed in the Charter following Section 1. So, you know, the big ones that seem to be violated right now are, you know, Section 2, Section 6, Section 7, 12, and 15. And so those are, I think that would be similar to your amendments and your Bill of Rights. I'm not exactly sure how it operates in the United States, but those are that outlines our constitutional freedoms, like our freedom of religion, conscious belief, our mobility rights, or our ability to move in and abroad, you know, inside of Canada, with outside of Canada, re-entry, our right to be free, like equal amongst under the law, you know, every individual. So that was what I was starting to see over and over and over again. And the pattern that I was watching unfold, you know, Canadian fundamental rights and freedoms have been under attack for a number of years now. Specifically, yeah. It started with freedom of speech, which it's probably always what it starts with, it seems to be. And so I had been paying attention to those issues prior to COVID, but I was operating under the opinion or the belief that, like, governments come and governments go. You know, the Liberals are here in Canada are much more a Marxist ideology is what I would describe them as, along with the NDP. The Conservatives in Canada traditionally have been, it would be more like your version of the Democrats versus the Republicans. However, I think even our conservatives here in Canada are probably about on par with your Democrats in the United States when it comes to ideology.
So Canada's left of the U.S., which is shocking in and of itself. Danny, tell me the organization you resigned from again.
I resigned from the RCMP, from the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
RCMP. You, one of the things I want to highlight, you had an incredible speech that really articulated kind of the history, what happened, how you got kind of sideways trying to defend due process for people, etc., and protect their God-given government codified rights. You gave an incredible 10-minute speech on this. I really respected your explaining why you resigned, exactly kind of what brought you to it, because you felt like you had no other choice but to send a clear, direct message that, you know what, it's freedom above fortune. It's God, family, country. It's liberty above employment. And you really sent that message boldly, nobly, and independently, sir.
Well, yeah, I mean, it took me some time to come to that decision, that mindset, that I was ready to, I knew that I was going to be under the microscope as soon as I started to speak out publicly. And so I didn't know exactly how that was going to look from a disciplinary side, from the RCMP. I knew I was violating the RCMP's code of conduct every time I spoke out publicly that was critical of the force or critical of the current government. I was expecting the heavy hand of the RCMP to come down swiftly, and it didn't really. I had to turn in my building pass and my keys, and I took that opportunity to gather my personal belongings because I knew that I was likely going to be off for an indefinite amount of time. And they had, my supervisors had received no correspondence at that moment. Or sorry, no direction from our professional standards unit. That would be like our internal affairs. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that started to ring some alarm bells in my mind that, like, okay, if they haven't come down with any kind of direction yet, my impression is that they're likely kind of working out how to best discipline me without creating a bit of a public relations problem, because I mean, that speech did get a lot of traction and it did get the attention of a lot of people. And so, and it's very, very uncommon for an RCMP officer to speak out against the force. That's very rare. And so that was when I started to kind of weigh my options about what was the best course of action for me. And when I was starting to do some research into that, I realized that, you know, they could really bring the hammer down on me if they wanted to, career-wise and financially-wise, if I was terminated for misconduct. And that in combination with the fact that I'd seen a pattern of behavior throughout my time in the RCMP that was clear to me that they didn't value the individual members, and that my impression was that it no longer was about being good at law enforcement. It was more about the appearance that we were able to be good at law enforcement, and that we were, as a law enforcement agency, we were more, at the managerial level, it appeared to be more about appeasing political masters and advancement of senior officers than it was about actually doing a really good job serving the people and being competent at our at fulfilling our mandate of public and police safety. So that was when I made the decision to officially resign. And then I knew, like, I had that sense that, like, you don't own me anymore. Now I can be a truly independent voice. Because it is a paramilitary.
Go ahead, sir.
Go ahead. Sorry. Well, it is a paramilitary organization.
This is the valiant stand, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to see here. This is the valiant stand we need Americans all across North America to understand. Look,
amen.
You've got to have freedom above fortune. You've got to have some integrity. You can't just say for a paycheck, I'm going to sell out my country, because what you're really doing is selling out your family. What you're really doing is jettisoning everything we hold dear, and you're passing to the next generation literally tyrannical agendas. Danny Bulford, yeah, standing up, doing a great job, ladies and gentlemen. He's an Ontario resident. He's a husband. He's a father of three. He's a spokesperson for Mounties for Freedom. What's the best website for you, Danny?
Mounties number 4, freedom.com. We started Mounties out with mountiesforfreedom.ca, but then that site was attacked once our open letter to the commissioner of the RCMP went public. That website came under attack. So, but one of our core members had he was switched on, and he had contingency plans lined up with additional domain names. So then it shifted over to Mounties number 4 freedom.com.
All right, tell me about TBOF.ca. Is that a website that matters we want to keep?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's taking back our freedoms.ca. So that's another group that I have become involved with since I started speaking out on behalf of Mounties for Freedom. And that is, if you look at the board of advisors of Taking Back Our Freedoms, that's a national group as well. They have a representative in the majority of provinces and territories. And they're very effective at lobbying provincial politicians and federal members of parliament. And they have a whole suite, I guess you could say, of expertise. They have they have outspoken doctors and scientists that can speak to the medical science response to the COVID pandemic. They have a retired lieutenant colonel from the Canadian military who then basically ran the emergency management department for the province of Alberta for a number of years. So he was like a national expert in emergency management. And he has been very outspoken about how we have done at a provincial and federal level, the complete opposite of what the responsibilities and pre-approved pandemic plans in Canada should have been and were. And I can confirm that in Ontario and the federal level, we did our public health and governments did the exact opposite of what our pre-written pandemic response plans were in regards to masking healthy people, lockdowns, suppressing early treatment, attacking doctors for doing so. And the immunization issue is a whole other factor in that. So Taking Back Our Freedoms, my apologies. It's chaired of the board of advisors is former premier of Newfoundland, Brian Peckford. So he's the last living member of parliament involved in the creation of our Charter of Rights and Freedoms, which is part of our Constitution Act, which is in section 52 of our Constitution Act. It clearly states that the Constitution is the supreme law of Canada, and that no law or regulation that is in contradiction with the Constitution is of no force or in effect. And so we're led by Brian Peckford. And then we have a whole suite of doctors and scientists, lawyers, like with the legal expertise. And then we also have myself, Vincent Gerses, who's a retired Ontario provincial police officer, and Brian Dennison, who is a former Calgary police officer. And we're on the, like, the law enforcement side of the board of advisors. And so I feel strongly that we have all of these various police or these various freedom fighting groups in Canada, like Mounties for Freedom, Police on Guard. Actually, Mounties for Freedom grew out of Police on Guard. So actually Chris Vandenbos was kind of my inspiration to launch into the freedom fight. But we're trying to unify all of these groups under one clear purpose and message. And I feel strongly, I mean, I'm biased because I've been working with this group, but I've seen how effective they can be, that the Taking Back Our Freedoms group, TBOF.ca, is probably our best shot at doing that on a national scale, of uniting everyone under one clear message. And you know, regarding the vaccinated population and the unvaccinated population, right? It's only a matter of time until everyone's freedoms are under attack by our federal government and our provincial governments.
None of you can leave Canada. If you're not vaxxed, nobody can leave Canada. Is that right?
That's the current travel restriction. Yeah. You're not allowed to get on a plane, a train, or a large ship.
It's astonishing, isn't it, how destructive governments can be under the guise of taking care of us. I mean, that's just like communist dictators throughout world history have done the same thing. You can't go
fascist ones
anywhere
too
unless you do what you're told. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That's astonishing.
Yeah.
That we've come full circle to that, all because they want to take care of us and improve our health. That's absolutely insane. Dan, thank you so much for what you've done. As I told Chris, we look forward to partnering with you guys, and anything we can do, please let us know. But it wouldn't look like I could come to Canada, because I'm not going to get vaxxed either. But if there's a way for us to come together, we certainly hope to be able to achieve that.
Well, we will in the future for sure.
Your freedom, our fight, ladies and gentlemen. You gotta love it. That's what we're talking about in America. MountiesForFreedom.com. Thank you so much, Daniel. We appreciate your time, sir.
What a great show,
everybody. CSPOA.org. God save the Republic.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil spiritual power to the beast. And that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Final segment on your radio. TV is finished. Sorry for all the disconnects and trouble. We're doing the very best we can with limited funds. And, wow, we're all over the country doing the best we can for liberty. Ladies and gentlemen, a new study is out ranking states and their handling of COVID-19. And they say the Democrat states performed poorly on every single metric compared to the red states. Whether it's mortality, the economy, schooling. It turns out that New Jersey, New York, and California, the three most liberal states, all blue states ranked the worst in all three categories. Utah, Vermont, and Nebraska won in all three categories. One piece of good news in this study, ladies and gentlemen, is that states which maximized the individual freedoms of business owners, consumers, workers, and parents, and the states that allowed their citizens to make their own assessments about risk-reward analysis and about government mandates, etc., had the best performance, the report said. All right. Other places had high death rates, high unemployment rates. Their schools were shut down longer than almost all other states. Utah, they say, was the best state with outcome regarding the economy, education, and mortality. High economic activity. And anyway, there you have it. I find that fascinating. It's very interesting. They say there was no correlation between dining restrictions. I don't know about that. But all I know is it's good work, right? It's a good start. It's great effort. It's people doing good things. Now, Utah did not perform, in my opinion, constitutionally. They just performed better than the extreme liberal, what do you want to call them, tyrannical states? Socialist states? Whatever word you want to use for this. I guess Utah and other states performed better. But all of them could have done two things. One, let the citizens live free. Two, provided guidance on the best ways to get well, leaving, or putting, I should say, everything on the table, not just whatever they wanted to promote. We could have jettisoned the federal government and said, we're not locking down here, we're not doing that. We could have stood with the Constitution. We could have stood with the idea that, look, we're not going to penalize people that are well. Even if they may be asymptomatic, we're not going to penalize people that are well. We're not going to shut down businesses. We're not going to shut down education. We're not going to take money from the feds. We're not going to. There's a lot of things they could have done that they didn't do. There's a lot to go. But the direct trampling of rights of citizens was much more extreme in some of these liberal states than in some of the conservative states, even though none of them were completely constitutional in their response. This just should show Americans, in my opinion, we need to work together. We need to have more patriots in the conservative states. And I know that might require people to move or take action, but how sacred is your liberty? Is it important that you flee to the Rocky Mountains, to states like Utah and Idaho, or somewhere like South Dakota? Or, you know, is it important for you to do those things? See, I personally think so. And until Americans make real sacrifice like the founding fathers made, we're not going to see gains. Okay? Just remember that, will you please? All right, thanks for being alongside with the ride. Hopefully it was educational and entertaining. Hopefully we made a lot of difference for you to understand that there are people in other countries like our great northern brethren and sisters in Canada doing a phenomenal job indeed. We thank Danny Bulford We thank Chris Vandenbosch. God save the